song is Love Grew with a Blunt Tail.
Thank you. come this way, may the Lord bless you. Don't be afraid to say amen now.
Amen.
Don't worry, we've got 16 niggers for you next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate you. It's good to have Brother and Sister Pike with us today. And we have folks from Virginia and Florida, Jackson, Florida, Virginia, and we appreciate them. Lord, it's good to have you. Ms. Hammond's good to have you. And others, we just appreciate you with all of our heart for being in the service here today. And the Harmony Baptist Church is not too old. It started a few months ago, and God has blessed it and blessed us with this beautiful building. And it's not paid for yet. You won't have to pay for it. Amen. Except that. I tell you, we're going to take all the help we get in that, so to speak. And so we just ask you to mind the Lord. And then this is the day that we have set aside to dedicate this building to the Lord from the Harmony Baptist Church. And there's much that I could say about dedication, as much as I can say about the church, the time won't allow me to say so much. As I said last Sunday, we can just preach all evening if you want to, but God goes around that curve about 12 o'clock. So we might as well go too then, you know. One time I was talking to this old colored preacher. I'd been down in Pinehurst Hospital after I left my church, and then come back to Osceola City Hospital. And then come on up the road out from Silas City there, and it was about 2 or 2:30. The colored folks there were still in the house of the Lord. Anyway, I was talking to the preacher the following week, talking to him. I said, you know, what time do y'all let out? Or, you know, I said, I can't hold them that long. And he said, Brother Hill said, you can't get in a hurry serving the Lord, you know. Well, you know, he's got something there, hey. He surely has. Can't get in a hurry. But it's God's time, and I certainly don't want to waste the Lord's time, and it's precious. Is his time. But over in 2 Chronicles, we find these words, the 7th chapter, the great chapter. It's a chapter that deals with the sacrifice and the solemn sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Lord accepted the sacrifice. They said there in chapter 7 in verses 1, now when Solomon had made an end of a prayer, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day and for the many blessings in this world of life. And thank you, Lord, for every home that's represented here today. And Lord, there are our guests. And I pray that you'll bless them in a very special way. Realize, Lord, they didn't have to come this way, but they had a desire and concerned to come this way today. We want to thank you for that, for placing them in the heart. And I pray, Lord, that you bless them in a very special way. And then, Lord, for those that are in the hospital, I pray that you'll bless them. Those are in the rest home, I pray that you'll bless them. And then, Lord, for those that's lost a loved one, I pray that, Lord, that you'll bless the family this hour. And then, Lord, today, as we go into the cover of this service, I pray that you'll speak to every heart and bless every soul. And may we go and say it's been good to be in thy house. But we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Solomon, here he made a prayer. Solomon was David's son. I mean something about Solomon. He was an outstanding man. Solomon was a wise man, I'll tell you. Brother, you know, nobody can really match up to Solomon's wisdom except the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the story in the New Testament, how that Jesus, I was speaking there, and the Bible said the Queen of the South came from the utmost parts of the earth to see the wisdom of Solomon, or to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and see his fame and see his riches. And she went and visited with Solomon, and Solomon had talked with her. And when she left, and when she had left and started to part, she said, why, the hag has never yet been told. Truly, the hag has never been told about the Lord Jesus Christ. As this queen said, the half of Solomon's wisdom, the half of his riches has never been told. Now, Solomon, as we said, was David's son. David was a man after God's own heart, but also he was a man of war. And the Lord wouldn't let David 36,000 boss men. I'll tell you, brother, there was a lot of boss men with me. Amen. And so they had 36,000 overseers. I believe there were 70,000 of bearers. There's one that labored and I carried parts and helped get the stone out. And it was, I think, 80,000 stone cutters. And brother, they built this temple. It's a beautiful temple. I'll tell you, there's never been one like it. I mean, brother, part of the floor there, I was made of stone. And I had the privilege of years ago going and walking upon those stones. It's amazing how big those stones were. Why, listen, we didn't have a crane until about 20 years ago to pick up one of those stones. And how they got them there, I don't know. But I know that Solomon had the wisdom. He had the manpower, and he had the architects. And so anyway, they placed them there. I mean, they was large. It's 15 foot long and about 4 foot thick. And brother, they weighed hundreds and hundreds, and other hundreds, but actually weighed tons. And they placed them in this building. And then also, they part of the floor was made of cypress, of precious wood, and it was overlined with gold. And part of the walls was made of cedar. Also, it was lined over with gold. And it's a beautiful sight. You remember the story of my friends, how the disciples came there to Jesus. And of course, the temple had been tore down at this particular time. It was rebuilt. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's general, when he went in there and conquered Jerusalem, he tore the building down. It was the general of Nebuchadnezzar. And they took those golden vessels, and those golden vessels that was dedicated to God and silver, and they brought them back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had built the great empire, as we mentioned a few Sundays ago. There's never been an empire like the empire of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, it was powerful. And brother, it was the greatest that had ever been, the strongest that had ever been. But it failed, you see. My friends, when man has something to do with something else, sometimes it'll fall, amen? It'll fail. But let me say, when God has something to do with it, you don't worry about it. It'll be all right. Brother, anytime man puts his hands on something, my brother, they're subject to something to happen to it. Amen. Man's not perfect. He's limited. Now, Solomon was a wise man. Now, how did he get this wisdom anyway? Did he go to a four-dump center? Did he go off somewhere or another to college and get this education? No. My friends, he got it out on the knees praying unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, he went out on his knees and began to pray. And as he took the leadership, and as he took the city of the king there, and he asked the Lord, said, Lord, I want this. He said, pray, Lord, that you give me wisdom that I might lead your people. He said, well, on my own, I don't have sense enough to go in and out among the people. But Lord, I want you to give me and bless me with wisdom and knowledge that I might lead your people. Boy, I tell you, this pleased God. And God liked that prayer. And because he prayed a simple prayer, because he prayed a large selfish prayer, God blessed him with wisdom. God blessed him with riches. And God blessed him with fame. Now, there's a lot of things I don't understand about Solomon. I mean, he had 700 wives. Can you imagine that? I'd like to have 700 mother-in-laws. Well, there's nothing wrong having 700 mother-in-laws if you're like mine. Amen. I got a good. But anyway, he had 700 mother-in-laws. Now, I don't understand a lot of things. And brother, but anyway, God blessed this man in a mighty way. I'll tell you, brother, he had the wisdom. And the Lord saw that he was humble. And the Lord saw that he meant business. And God called upon him to build his tabernacle, to build his temple. And it was dedicated to God. Now, as he dedicated to the Lord, he went out and he made sacrifices. Now, do you know he sacrificed, in this same chapter tells us that he sacrificed 22,000 oxen. I mean, you think about that, 22,000 oxen that he sacrificed to the Lord. And then also he sacrificed 120,000 sheep. Now, brother, sheep is a strange thing. I don't know too much about sheep, I know a little about it. I was in Israel, and the shepherd was out there, and he could call those sheep. He'd call my name. And then each one of them would raise their head and look at the shepherd. I could call them all day long. They wouldn't pay me attention. I wasn't a shepherd, you see. But that shepherd, he could call their name He played that flute, and in sheep they obeyed. Listen, that's why Jesus said it. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they're not following. You see, and the word sheep means something in the Bible. It's mentioned 600 times. And Jesus speaks about his children as sheep, you see. And so we know that he offered 120,000 sheep unto the Lord. He made this sacrifice, he built an altar, and he offered unto the Lord. And the Bible said that fire comes down from heaven and consumed the offering. Brother, in other words, God accepted it, you see. Now, you see, it was required by the priest that day to offer sacrifices unto the Lord for their sins. Now, their sins wasn't forgiven. If you study the Bible, you see that their sins wasn't forgiven. It was just postponed another year when the priest went into the holies of holies. And it was postponed another year. And the next year, they had to go and make another sacrifice. So the priest did sprinkle the blood. You see, it was postponed until Jesus died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, thank God, we don't have to go to a high priest. Amen? We don't go. We go to the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so people in that day were saved by looking to the cross, as we're saved today by looking back at the cross. You see? Now we accept the finished work that Jesus done almost 2,000 years ago. Some people make it complicated. Some people say, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And they say, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus. How? And thou shalt be saved according to the Bible. That's all. That's how simple that it is. And so Solomon, he made his offering to the Lord. And his sheep is the symbol of the Lord. And as a sacrifice lamb, and as Moses offered a sacrifice there in the wilderness that night. We'll mention in a few moments, you see. And that lamb was pointing to Calvary. And it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Solomon, he made this offering unto the Lord. And then he prayed a prayer in the 6th chapter, in the 7th. And he prayed this dedication prayer. And he offered this building unto God. And God accepted. And then the Lord said in verses 14, and he said, if my people. He was speaking about those who were saved and been born in the family of God. If my people just call to my name, shall humble themselves and seek my faith and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their lands. You know, most people are too proud, you know. Listen, there's one thing God hates the proud look. Well, we don't have enough to be proud about anyway. The Bible said our very best is but filthy rags. I mean our very best is but filthy rags. Some folks say, well, I'm going to get to heaven, my goodness. No, you won't. Now listen, the Bible says your goodness is never filthy rags. You'll get to heaven by the blood, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how lame how simple it is. And so, we know that Solomon, he built his temple, he dedicated to God. And the Harmony Baptist Church today is being dedicated to the Lord. And brother, it's not our building, it belongs to God. And I know that God don't dwell in bricks and mortars, but it is in our heart. You see, when Jesus went to heaven, he left something behind. What did he leave? That's the church. Do you know the only thing that Jesus left here went to heaven was the church? And he said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, he said, up on this rock, I'll build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not close. Why this? I know we got false religion. Why this? You look around. My dog's got religion. My dog, he come up and just wag his tail, and you turn your back on him, bite you. I've seen people do that. And there's some so-called Christians that do that too. Amen. I mean, but anyway, brother, religion will send you to hell. That's how this is going to take you. You say, amen. And so the building is dedicated to God, and God doesn't dwell in bricks and mortars and wood, but it dwells in our hearts and our lives. And he said to Simon Peter, he said, I'm going to build my church. And he said, why the gates of hell shall not prevail? Now it means it shall not be closed. The devil can't close God's church. The church is going up. It belongs not to man, not to the individual, not to the organization, not to the denomination, but it belongs to God. You may not belong to the same church I do, but you're saying, we belong to the church, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's all that is. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for the educated and the uneducated. Now, this is what Jesus done with salvation. I mean, if man had to work it out, he couldn't work it out. Not just us to fit everybody. And he worked salvation out in such a way that he put it on a shell, so to speak, spiritually speaking. And all that a man has to do is to reach out by faith and receive it into their heart. I mean, simple. I've had people say, listen to the broadcast. I preached their funeral. I went there and visited a man a few years ago, and he said, preacher, I said word, and he did say word for me, and I went to visit with him. And he said, I want you to know, last Sunday while he was preaching, I asked the Lord to put my heart to save me. And he said, I want you to preach my funeral. I said, well, if I'm living, I will. But anyway, he passed on when I preached to him. But he told me that he got saved by listening to the broadcast. He had never belonged to a church. He hated that after he left. Wished he had. He hated it, you see. But you see, I'm saying that you get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus established the church. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verses 29, forsake not thyself, assemble thyself together, as matters some it, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now the house of God is put here for us to come and worship the Lord. Not to serve Him, but to worship Him. We come together, we have fellowship. We come together, we shake hands, we smile, we encourage one another, we lift one another up, and we're glad to see one another. If we've been washed with a little lamp, we're glad to see one another. And this is fellowship. This is what it's all about. Now some folks, when they come to church, let God, they look like they've been eating, I don't know what, but anyway, they desire, and brother, if you looked at them very long, you'd desire too. Why, listen, put a smile on your face. Make you feel better. And maybe act different. And brother, listen, sometimes I feel bad, but I don't let the devil know it. That's why I don't even know I feel bad. Sometimes I do sometimes. I don't even think I feel good all the time. Amen. Well, listen, brother, the church come together. And it's good. God left it here. And He's going to come back. And He's going to get the church. Not the building, not the brick and the mortar and the wood, but He's going to get the individuals. And He's going to call us up. And we'll be with Him forevermore. Thank God for that. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible said there was 120 of them. And they was in one accord. Now, if you can get five in one accord, you can do something. Amen? Amen. Why, listen, I used to grow up on a farm. My dad had no team of mules. If you could get them in one accord, you could do some fighting. But most of the time, they wasn't in one accord. One would be pulling this way, one the other. You get out the end of the field, one step out, trace the chain, and you'd have to put it back in. One day I didn't put it back in. Just from the highway, the lady got the other end, he put it back in. Of course, I didn't hit him, I didn't hit him. But anyway, if you get them working together and pulling together, you can do something for the Lord. The Bible said there was a 100 feet and there's upper room that had been there for 10 days. And they each say, well, I'm going down to McDonald's to get something to eat today. And they say, I'm going down to Harley's and they'll roll that. Get something to eat today. They stay there for 10 days. One accord, and they prayed. What they did is they did God. And boy, they heard something on the 10th day. The Bible said it sounded like a rushing mighty wind. And it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, come and set upon them. And as it set upon them, there was change. Their life was changed. They began to go out and speak in other tongues, different languages. And people heard the gospel that day for the first time. In their own language, and the Bible says 3,000 souls were born in the church. You see, that was the beginning of the church. And this building, we're part of the church of God. And this church is being dedicated to the Lord. It's not ours. It belongs to God. Well, isn't everything we got anyway belongs to God? Would it? It is not. He just lets us use some things for a while. And I said this before, the reason some of them ain't got was because God can't trust us with it. Amen? I've seen people with a little money. Bless God, they turn their nose up, not speak to you, didn't know you. Why, you grew up with them. They make a little money. But I like to see folks be their self, you know? Just be their self. And God will bless the man for that. I believe it all on. But anyway, let me get back to the man. Now, Solomon, he offered 22,000 dollars. Think about it. Then he offered 100,000. service and good afternoon in just a few moments. This house belongs to God.
Amen.
As we need to, when we enter into it, we need to realize that. This house ought to be kept up better than our own house.
Amen.
It ought to look better than our own house. I mean, it's God's house. It's not ours again. It ought to be the most kept up house in this community. God's house. And I believe if we really do our parts, I believe we'll do that. I believe we'll support it. It takes money. I know I'm not a preacher, but it takes money to run God's house. And we need to band together. And boy, it looks good. You ought to have been here a few weeks ago. God, it looks like fun. I don't know what we've got here. But anyway, it looks good today. And we've got a long weekend to go. But we've come a long way. And God's house should be beautiful. And when a man goes down the road, and boy, that's God's house. Boy, they got it looking good around there. It makes you feel good. Now, I've been by churches that look like they had to move 3 or 4 years, and Robert grew up, and when the lights fell out, and the door was cleaned, and it was painted. That don't look good. You see, that represents God. It don't represent you, it represents God. And Solomon's temple, I had to figure what it really would cost if it was built today. I mean, Brother Hemp can build a house. Well, you can build, and it's expensive. And to build a temple like Solomon had would cost millions and millions and billions of dollars today. But listen, they give it gladly. Why? Because it was God's. It was dedicated to the Lord. And it belonged to Him. Now we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the good folks that's come this way today. And being so wonderful listeners and the good spirit is here. And Lord, now as we come to dedicate this building, Lord, in this prayer, as Solomon prayed, and she prayed, the fire consumed the altar, and the glory of the Lord came and filled that house, that even the priests could not even enter it. There was just smoke here around the house. The Lord God was so strong that nobody could even enter it. God, we ask you to be strong around this place through people's lives, through their testimonies, through their singing, through their handshake, through their smiles, through the Harmony Baptist Church. Now, Lord, this belongs to you. And God, we know that you meet every need, you're supplying our needs, because we want to trust you for everything. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings. We're not perfect, and we fade every day. Every hour of the day. But you're merciful and you're forgiving God. We ask, Lord, that you do that. Now, Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, and we want to give them an opportunity, a chance to come to know thee as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart before us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask Jerry to join and come. We're going to stand and sing a couple verses of the invitation. Then we're going to have communion. We're hurry right along. I don't waste any time. Maybe someone here today, maybe a Christian here today, you'd like to dedicate your life. Listen, the altar is always open. You come at any time. And just, you don't want to talk to the Lord, don't talk to me, talk to the Lord about it. You know, the Bible says, confess our faults, not our sins, one to another. But confess our faults, not you don't confess your sins, but confess it to the Lord. But maybe a Christian here, just come and have something to the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I've got our deacons to come forward this time. Now we do come to observe the words of the Lord's Supper. Give it to us to celebrate the remembrance of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have open communion. And what I mean by that, which you're a member of this church, or your mother member of this church, and you feel led, ask you to participate in the communion. Well, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so we're going to have Rita to come and to sing a couple verses of the old rugged cross. And then as our deacons pass out communion, we want you to listen to the words. We're going to say a few words concerning all the communion. He said that I'm going to come down through Egypt this night. And he said, Moses said, I'm going to execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. You see, the Egyptians had many gods. There's many gods in the world today. People have many gods. But there's only one God. The Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Moses said, I want you to do this. He said, I'm going to execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. And he said, then when I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you. You see, the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That means no forgiveness. Somebody said, do you mean to tell me you believe in slaughterhouse religion? No, I don't believe in that. But I believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from all sins. You see, it's so simple that a child can understand. When Jesus spoke, just read his writing And his teaching, he always spoke very plainly, very simple. He'd say, I'm the way. Anybody can understand that? He'd say, I'm the door. Anybody can understand that? He'd say, I'm the truth. And he said, if any man eat anything, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pastures. And I praise the Lord for that because he made it possible. And as he made it possible, we could be saved and be born into the family of God. And he took the bread that day, and the disciples went into the upper room that day with him. And he took in the bread, and after he'd broken that bread, he took it and he broke it. And he said, your fathers eat in the wilderness. He said, they died, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. He'd taken the wine, he poured it, and blessed it. And he said, as you do this, he said, as often as you do this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we can say that all things are clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said on that night that Jesus had the last supper with the disciples, and just before he was betrayed, that they sung a hymn. We'll do that. As the wife comes and we get a hymn ready, we'll be dismissed. We want you to stay. If you would, feel free to stay. We'll have lunch together. Let me say again, we appreciate what you've done. We appreciate Jed and Roy for dedicating our Christian flag and our American flag. That means something to me, and I know it does to you. And I'll be saying something about it every next Sunday or later on. We appreciate it with all my heart. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, I wish you could go there with me. I can still see those big old olive trees. There's something about those olive trees, and they're really a sacred tree, so to speak. Those olive trees are in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's over 2,000 years old. And the olive tree, it dies on the outside. And it's very ugly, but it continues to grow. And those olive trees are still standing there today. And they claim that some of them are over 2,000 years old. And but anyway, there's where Jesus went as he prayed. And went a little further. And he had me in mind, and he had you in mind. I praise the Lord. Now we're here with him. It's page 256. Let's get it back. All right, let's sing the first song. Right.